T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change, then you can change. Everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Okay, hour number two, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with ya. Let's get it, buddy. This hour, we've got something new. We are going to send you to the Coach Speak Translator. A lot of Coach Speak going around, and at 7:45, we will send you through the Coach Speak Translator, where we will tell you what those coaches actually mean when trying to be nice about their players and their teams. Yeah. So that at 7:45. Also this hour, we'll go college football. Big injuries around the Pac-12. Plus, an interesting little story about a Colorado linebacker that I want to bounce off of you and how rare that it may be.
I also have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Into this hour.
I have answers.
I have surprise thoughts.
Okay.
I wanted to get your feelings on Monday Night Football's new crew. What you thought of the new grouping. Beth Mohns and Brian Griese were good, but that's an add-on. That was just an extra. That was kind of like, remember when I think it was Trent Dilfer did it with
Berman.
Yeah, Chris Berman.
And then last year we had Beth Mohn and Rex Ryan.
We did Beth Mohn and Rex Ryan.
That
Beth
was horrible. And Sergio Dipp.
I feel sorry for Beth Mohn.
Remember, Sergio Dipp was on
He's
that.
He's having the time of his life.
Vance Joseph.
It was really good. I wanted to get your thoughts on Tessitore and Booger and Jason Witten. And certainly you get a full crew. So I wanted your thoughts on that.
Okay.
I have my thoughts. You have your thoughts.
I have mine.
Okay.
You want to hear them now? I mean, I can give you to him right now.
Is it going to take like a minute or do you want to just wait?
I mean, I can wait.
Okay.
We're going to have to wait a while because I mean, we're pretty full.
All right. Let's let it stew.
Okay. I'll let you know this right now. A little teaser. Love Jason Witten. Love him.
Okay.
Love him.
Okay.
And people can send their thoughts on the Better You Today text line.
Yeah.
55305.
I feel like picking boogers.
You love Booger McFarland.
I don't like
He
Booger
is
McFarlane.
Your favorite. Buck, did you know that Booger McFarland is Cam's favorite ESPN personality?
Something like that.
His number one favorite personality on all of ESPN.
He's probably a really good guy, but Booger loves boogers.
And on that note, it's 7:07.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
We'll have a little bit more on this coming up later in the show, but if you haven't heard, Oregon State running back Artavis Pierce will miss at least 4 weeks with an elbow injury. Not good news.
No.
I have other injury news, though. Ducks linebacker Lamar Winston missed the Portland State game with an ankle injury. He is good to go for this week against San Jose State, so I guess that's good news. But more bad news. USC safety Isaiah Pola-Mau is expected to miss several weeks after dislocating his shoulder. He is already ruled out of this week against Texas.
That sucks.
That's a product of playing Stanford.
Yeah. What happens when you're going to try to take those guys on, downhill against that offensive line and tight end crew? Stanford, when you're done playing Stanford, you need 3 weeks to recover.
Yeah.
This is no joke. I'm not joking here.
There is something called the Stanford effect where teams play worse after playing that team. Them and Utah as well.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is there any team that you know heading in that plays Stanford and then might play Oregon?
Washington? And Oregon will be coming off a bye? Oh, we using that excuse already?
No, I'm using an excuse. I'm telling you, you got to be quacking really happy when you see that.
That gets my sports
pants
tight.
It does get your sports pants tight.
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
The NFL, why do they do this to them? Why does the NFL do this to the Cleveland Browns? They released a statement yesterday saying that Myles Garrett should not have been called to roughing the passer in the second quarter against the Pittsburgh Steelers when the very next play, Ben Roethlisberger threw a touchdown pass. Yeah. James Conner ran for a touchdown. That was a third down. It was an incompletion. And then 15-yard penalty. Boom. Next play, touchdown.
In the real world, has this ever worked out for anybody? I know when I make mistakes in life, I can just look my way and say, you know what? 5 years ago, I was a moron, honey.
Yeah.
Can I get a redo?
Hey, what does the
NFL do for that? We're really sorry we made it. Does it change the fact that affected the entire football game?
It was a tie game. Here's the deal on that one, too.
I don't get any second chances.
Not only is it just like it could have dictated the outcome of the game, but that was a 17-game losing streak. You know? They could have gotten a win.
But how do you feel, Coach? How do you feel, Buck? We're going to work on that drop, man, and we're going to get that.
Did you pull the a tie drop,
You need
Buck?
To have the tie. How do we feel?
Oh, my gosh. He's not even listening. No. Buck gets past. You missed it.
Missed
you
it.
Missed it.
Missed it.
You missed it,
missed
Buck.
The window. Wait, I'll just keep working on the other segment we're doing at 7:45.
You yes. missed it, Buck.
You keep working.
You missed it.
Oh, hot.
And, Buck, by the way, you should know, no matter what you're doing for us later, it's all about right now in our minds, okay?
I know.
It's all about right now.
I know.
I need you to be here for me now.
Yes, now.
Never heard that comment.
Hey, Russell Wilson finally got called out by Pete Carroll. This comes on the heels of the Monday Morning Quarterback article about basically everybody getting upset that Pete Carroll never calls him out. Pete Carroll yesterday on 710 ESPN said, it always goes back to the quarterback. Everyone's going to focus on that. Russ needed to do better than he did yesterday, but we needed to help him a lot. Coincidence?
I don't think so. No, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think Pete Carroll stated again, coach speak.
Like, that's an interesting.
Obviously a tie, you know? A tie.
I'm saying. Better late than never.
A tie.
A tie. So I feel.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, I guess.
All right, Major League Baseball scoreboard from a day ago. Astros beat the Tigers 3-2, as that now gives them a 3-game lead over the Oakland Athletics and a 10.5-game lead over the Seattle Mariners, who have a 0.1% chance of making the postseason still.
Still.
Did not change in their off day. That's really the only score of note from yesterday in the as it pertains to the Pacific Northwest, because the Mariners had the day off, the A's had the day off. But there is an interesting proposition brewing in the National League, where four teams could end in a tie. The Rockies beat the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks yesterday. They have a 3.5-game lead over Arizona. The Dodgers are just a game and a half back. Diamondbacks are 3.5 games back. But this could be a big wild card cluster, because if you look at it, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Cubs are all within 3 games of each other too. It could just be a wild card mess in about 3 weeks.
Ooh, can we have 3 play-in games? Tiebreakers?
Round robin?
Round robin
home
tiebreakers.
Home run derby?
Something.
Well, how does Washington...
Baseball's screwing it up, and you know what, Rob Manfred? You better fix this in the next few years, because one-game playoffs, there's not enough baseball play. It's too long of a season to not give us more. I hate the fact that I'm going to watch now the A's play the Yankees for one game to tell them who's the better team to get a chance to play the Astros. I'd be doing a disservice to good TV and great baseball in the fall. You're doing.
Washington does a round-robin Kansas plan for tiebreakers, don't they? For high school football state playoffs? Don't they do Kansas plan round-robin?
They also have the new rule this year where you have power rankings, or you're going to have RPIs.
Yeah, that's what Oregon does.
Yeah.
But that's what they should do for baseball. Have all the teams play one day, and you do 3-inning games.
Do you find it
round
funny
robin, 3-inning games, one stadium.
Do you find it funny that we're ranking, trying to figure out who's a stronger opponent, even at the high school level?
Yes, there's no way to do that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But some guy is doing it. Who are these people?
They use a lot of the BCS models.
They do. They actually use a company, Max Preps, to do all that too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's hot high school football talk.
Here we go.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
All right, injuries in the NFL. Doug Baldwin, we told you in the injury report, tore MCL, grade 2 tear, no timetable set for his return. Marcus Mariota, he said that he got the tinglies in his fingers. He could not feel his fingers after what was a late hit by Dolphins defensive lineman. It could be elbow, could be shoulder, but he should be good to go. He just lost feeling in his fingers.
He just lost feeling in his fingers? Come on, it's been a knee, been a neck, back. I mean, Marcus needs to, I don't know, just stop getting hurt. I feel for that man. He's taking a beating.
Ooh, oft injured. Is that where you're going?
No, it's clearly oft injured.
And we have no update to Aaron Rodgers' status after he told Michelle Tafoya after Sunday Night Football, I will be playing week 2 against Minnesota. His coach, Mike McCarthy, said, yeah, we don't know yet. So he could be hurt.
When does the injury report have to be put in? Thursday? Yeah. Okay, we'll see if he's on. He'll clearly be on the injury report.
That's what's hot and cool on the fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area, your local train comfort specialist. It's hard to stop a train. A horrible start and a spectacular finish. Sam Darnold debuts with the bang for the New York Jets. 7:14 on the fan. Sam Darnold came out in his very first play as the New York Jets starting quarterback was a pick six. Going the other way, it couldn't have started worse as it was Quandre Diggs who had a pick six to start the game off 37 yards. He takes it to the house. But after that, it was smooth sailing for Sam Darnold as the remaining, 59 minutes and 45 seconds of game action, he had 4 incompletions, going 16 of 21 for 198 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no more interceptions after that one. And Darnold, the USC product, talked about his first start on the big stage.
On that interception, I was pretty nervous. I'm not going to lie to you guys. But after that, put it behind me. I think, that... After the crowd got really loud after that pick, it was just, oh, shoot. And then I was like, okay, here we go. Can't get much worse than that. So it was really that kind of thinking that was going on in my head. And then just, played and knew that we had a good team. We have a really, really good team. So I knew that if I just did my job, took what the defense gave me, that I was going to be, able to go out there and look back and have a successful game.
When you hear that, do you think that it being a pick six was actually kind of a good thing for Sam Darnold? Because he was right back out there immediately.
Yeah, they didn't waste any time. He can get a chance. You don't get a chance to sit there and feel sorry for yourself.
Right.
And I think even better was watching, I think some of that, I was listening to Golic and Wingo on the way in too, and immediately you saw who came to his side immediately on the sideline. Josh McCown. Yeah. That's his position, coach. That's his dude. A 39-year-old quarterback who's been through the wars got right in his ear, and you could see immediately, it was like, hey, man, just don't, let's go. Don't you cannot have time to let this happen to you. I mean, you want to talk about leadership? Josh McCown's going to be a great coach. He'll be a head coach someday. I'll say it right now. He'll be a head coach in the NFL someday, and it'll happen. But that, yeah. You could say that was talk about just okay, make that mistake, get it out of the way, break the glass, and let's go play football.
You know, that is one thing that you sit there, you go, Josh McCown, when he said right after Sam Darnold was drafted, Josh McCown said, my impact on the 2018 Jets will be 3 and 4 years down the road, what kind of player Sam Darnold is. Mm-hmm. And he will be the most influential person to his development because it was not just him getting in the ear of Sam Darnold and being like, hey, you're okay, flush it, let's go. He, before Darnold was even off the field, he was in Jeremy Bates' ear and you could read his lips saying, don't change a thing. Mm-hmm. And don't change anything that we do. Don't protect this kid because he knows what kind of competitor that they have in Sam Darnold. And that's a special thing to have a guy and a veteran that's on your side to kind of help you develop and grow, who's also one of your peers to an extent.
Can I throw this at you too? Do you know who also on their debut had a rocket arm playing for the Atlanta Falcons in his very first NFL throw through an interception pick six?
I do. I know that.
Buck, do you know this trivia?
I do know this trivia.
Gosh, is it that easy?
Yes, it was all over Twitter.
I think it's one of those that it was just so, it was a microcosm of his career and his aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
gunslinger.
That's going to be the main point here is that you need to throw interceptions. You got to take risks. And, of course, it's Dusty. Who is it?
Brett Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre is an Atlanta Falcon, threw his first pick. There's going to be a lot of guys that do this. When some dudes do it and then they bury themselves, Nathan Peterman, into the abyss of multiple interceptions and get worse, mm-hmm. you can see how it affects them. The guys that don't care, that say, this is football, I'm going to make mistakes, we need to move on, are guys like Sam Darnold.
Yeah, there's one of two ways that you can go, because the only other guy to do that was Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. Like Brett Favre did it, but so did Jameis Winston. And there's like two roads where you can go on, and one is down the Favre road, or you can go down the Jameis Winston road.
Well, Jameis Winston, the jury's still out with him. I think he's done some good things. It's not like he's brutal. Yeah, he's sitting out four games, and Fitzmagic is now taken over in Tampa.
He may be benched.
He could be. I doubt that.
You know, well, Dirk Koetter said before even week one that he's going to have to earn his spot back and that he's not going to be handed to him. They may be done with him.
So you going down the road of the 1-2 picks with Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston being duds in the – are they duds in the NFL right now? Let's be fair.
No, because I don't think Marcus Mariota is a dud leading his team to the playoffs last year.
No, I don't think they're duds, but they're physically – I mean, Marcus
winning
is getting beat up.
Game.
Yeah, I mean, they're good things.
I don't think Marcus Mariota's a dud at all. I would say Jameis Winston has been more so a dud than Mariota, just based on, also, you look at targets, too. I mean, Mariota took his team to the playoffs, and who did he have? Who's he throwing the ball to? Whereas Mike Evans and O.J. Howard last year, Deshaun Jackson last year. I mean, Jameis Winston has had dudes around him, too.
And I don't think they're duds either, and losing Delanie Walker is going to hurt Tennessee. Yeah. God, that hurts them.
Season ender, yeah.
Brutal. So I hope Marcus can just find a way to stay healthier, get rid of the football faster. And I think that's what you're going to have with Coach Vrabel. They're going to move the ball with more efficiency, run it, and not let him do it. But you're right. First, second round picks, we're seeing quarterbacks, mistakes. Sam Darnold makes a throw. And let me tell you, this is my first thought. Football fans right now, where we sit with the NFL, think about big cities and big stars. Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, mm-hmm. Sam Darnold are in New York. Does that get your sports pants tight when big cities have big stars? And not just to throw it away, there's just an old man just up the freeway in the I-95 that's pretty darn good on that north side. Then you come out west to the
Who
biggest.
Who are you talking about?
He might. Goat? Tom Brady.
Oh.
He's up north.
Oh, you were mentioning a bunch of freeways that I don't think anybody has any idea about.
Yeah, the 95.
I was like, what are you talking about?
And then you go all the way out on the west. Come all the way out to L.A., the two biggest cities in our country right now, and the stars of the Rams, and even I'll give you L.A., you know, the San Diegos, former San Diegos. Mm-hmm. Chargers got some dudes, too. So yeah. We're in good shape with some big cities with some big stars. Dude, Chicago, all good stars going on.
Mitchell Trubisky a star?
No, but Khalil Mack is.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he definitely is. Darnold had a great performance in week one, but... we would be remiss if we did not talk about the other side of this game. And in the 31-point rout that the Jets gave the Lions, Matthew Stafford threw four interceptions. That is the fifth time that Matthew Stafford has thrown four interceptions in a game mm-hmm. since 2009, which I don't know if you're counting at home. That is the most in the NFL mm-hmm. to have five games of four picks or more.
Matthew Stafford has underwhelmed multiple times. He just has. Yeah. He's a good quarterback. He's good. He's a good player. Is he great? No.
The other thing is he got banged up early in that game last night, and he looked like he was kind of a hurting cowboy. He was a mess.
Yeah, he was. But also, this is a problem that Detroit has, is that like Matt Patricia came in and he kept Jim Bob Cooter as his offensive mm-hmm. coordinator. It's the same old Detroit Lions where it's not just that they don't run the ball. It's like a lack of willingness to even try to run the ball, even early in the game.
They don't have a running back.
Well,
Who is their running back?
Well, they have two. They have Theo Riddick, and then they have LeGarrette Blount, who LeGarrette Blount just got absolutely demolished in his first carry.
Yeah.
I mean, God, he got hurt on his...
LeGarrette Blount still playing and just journeyman.
He's pretty good when he's in New England.
That was like 4 years ago.
Two.
Yeah.
But if you look at what they did, they've dumped a bunch of money into their offensive line, and it was like, hey, Detroit's going to run the ball now. They ran the ball 15 times. In that game, when the game was close, they didn't even run the ball, and they threw the ball 46 now, or 52 times. I get it when you're losing, but they just put their defense continually back on the field.
Can't do it.
And that's how you see 31-point third quarters.
Do you know how long it's been since they've had a 100-yard rusher in a game?
This is a streak, which I don't know which one was more impressive from last night. That the fact that last night's lack of a 100-yard rusher took them to 69 games in a row.
I was going to say, I can't think of... Give me the last time Detroit's had a running game or a running back that is in your memory. And don't tell me...
Oh, it's Barry.
One of the I know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count.
No, right? That's it.
I'd say, don't tell me Barry Sanders. There isn't one.
Thanksgiving 2013 is the last time they had a 100-yard rusher.
Who was it?
Oh, let's
Nobody
find
knows.
Out.
My gosh. But which is...
I wonder if it was... Oh, it couldn't have been. No, it wasn't.
Which is the most more impressive streak, though? 69 games without having a 100-yard rusher, or last night's pick six in that game was the first defensive touchdown in 74 games for the New York Jets. They haven't had a defensive touchdown in 5 years either.
You mean the...
The Jets had not had a defensive touchdown.
Jets or the...
The Jets. Uh-huh. They had not had a defensive touchdown in 5 years.
Wow.
That's it. Like, you stumble into one of those, don't you? Like a
it's not like
sack?
It's easy. It's not easy to do that.
Well, it's the longest in NFL history.
By the way, Cam, that 100-yard rusher played for your New Orleans Saints at one point in time. Reggie Bush, the last 100-yard rusher.
Wow,
for the
I totally
Detroit
forgot
Lions,
about
Thanksgiving,
that. That he played for the Detroit Lions.
Carried it 20 times for 117.
Was he there right after the Saints? That was where he went right after the Saints, correct?
I think that's accurate.
They traded him or they released him?
That I don't remember.
Jeez.
No, that's towards the end of his career. I'm so sorry.
No, the 49ers were the end of his career, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever
Bush,
it is.
2013.
That is a long time without a 100-yard rusher.
Reggie Bush went Saints, Dolphins, then Lions, then Niners, and briefly with the Bills, although I don't know if he played.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. So Lions, get used to it. You are what you are. Jets, you got Sam Darnold now. And that, my friends, is something to be optimistic about. The first time that New York can be excited for a quarterback since... They kept making the comparison. First time since Joe Namath. Do you remember the hype around Mark Sanchez, though, after his first win?
Mm.
I mean, they had... There was a side-by-side of the New York Daily News as they put out the front page early last night of the New York Daily News, and it said, on the cover, a star is born. And Monday Morning Quarterback did a side-by-side. After Mark Sanchez's first start, the New York Daily News had a cover that said, a star is born.
Oh, boy.
They had both of them.
Is this a hot take? But I think Sam Darnold is going to be the greatest USC quarterback ever in the NFL.
Wow. Ever.
Who's,
I don't want to say no because I'm just as high on Darnold as you are.
Who do we consider to be the best ever USC quarterback now?
Carson Palmer.
That's kind of what I thought. I didn't know if there was anybody that you thought would have eclipsed him.
Todd Marinovich.
Ronnie Pete
was pretty good.
Pretty good.
But
journeyman, good player.
How high is that bar?
They've had plenty of chances, Matt Leinart.
Speaking of journeyman, is Matt Leinart still bouncing around?
No. He's in the Fox booth.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's on the
he's in the college football side. Yeah.
John David Booty.
Mm-hmm. John David Booty.
All right. Let's talk about college football. Artavis Pierce dealt a big blow to the Oregon State hopes of winning at Nevada. Plus, some notes on the Ducks. And what if this team really isn't that bad? Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Okay, here is your list of USC quarterbacks, Mr. Cleland, that Sam Darnold needs to be better than. Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez, Todd Marinovich, Matt Barkley, Rob Johnson, Matt Castle. Matt Castle was a tight end at USC.
Yeah, but then he played.
People forget.
Yeah, but then he played quarterback.
Yeah, Rodney Peete, Pat Hayden, John David Booty, Cody Kessler, Sean Salisbury, Paul McDonald, and Vince Evans. Wow.
So, yeah, Carson Palmer definitely the QB to beat.
Yeah. And Pat Hayden, maybe?
Well, that's I know this is kind of, it may sound dumb, but that's a lot of quarterbacks that have played in the league. And you look at USC, known for putting quarterbacks out there. Sam Darnold could be a guy who's like, oh, there's another guy. I think that just he is going to be one that just separates himself. He's going to be a star.
He is going to be a star.
He already was a star, but now he's going to be an unbelievable star, like 15-year star.
Wow. Jeez. 15 years. All right, let's do it.
Hey, if you're going to go hot take, you go all in.
Just go all in.
Straight red hot.
15 years in the league. If he's going to be a star, which I think he will be, yeah. Yeah, 15 years sounds about right for him.
15 years. Remember, he's the youngest player to ever start an NFL game. 15 only puts him at 35 years old, who, by the way, is the same age as Aaron Rodgers.
15 will put us in 2033. Yeah,
that's not that big a deal.
2033 seems like so far away.
We're all looking at each other going, oh my gosh. How old are we going to be?
I feel like Oregon just scheduled 58. A home and home for 2033 or something.
That's probably true.
I know.
That is probably true. All right. Beavs dealt a blow yesterday. They have lost Artavis Pierce for 4 weeks. Is what Jonathan Smith said yesterday. So the Beavs will turn to Jamar Jefferson for the next four games. True freshman, rushed for 233 yards against, albeit Southern Utah, but has looked really good this season. It's never good, though, when you lose your one to your 1-2 punch in that run game, though. This is a big injury for Oregon State as they head down to a game that they're underdogs at Nevada.
I don't like the fact that they're underdogs to a Nevada team that I'm not impressed with. I think that should just send the Beaver tails to a little bit irritation level. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Those dudes should have come up with their chip on your shoulder going into Nevada and playing like this. Now you're playing behind the eight ball because you're losing some of your star players, and you just got to go in and just get angry at here. I mean, I think Jonathan Smith's going to have these guys ready to play.
Well, and here's the concerning part for Oregon State is that your next four games are arguably like four of your five most winnable games on your schedule, where you have at Nevada, Arizona at home, at Arizona State, Washington State, and then Cal.
Yeah.
But then you look at the rest of the way, Colorado's look good. The rest of your schedule after that is Colorado, USC, Stanford, Washington, Oregon. Yeah. They have four ranked teams in a row to end the year, and not having Artavis Pierce for this stretch really hurts you when you're looking at a team that lacks depth, needing depth down the run.
No question.
In that stretch of the season. And so that could be bad, but Jamar Jefferson looked really good against Southern Utah. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
You don't take much out of
I've already crapped on last week's Northern teams that spent time in both Oregon and Washington playing really bad football teams, but they handled their business. Did you really get anything out of what Washington State, Oregon, and Oregon State did to the lesser opponents? What was the big takeaway from all those core? You look at Oregon. Oregon is like they were disappointed that they didn't do more against a really, really difficult Portland State team. And then Oregon State, probably the best win of them all, in my opinion. Best win of them all.
Yeah, because they had the most proof.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was an FCS opponent. But it does ramp up next week where kick times were announced. You have two really good games in the Northwest next weekend.
Yes.
But you've got Oregon will be hosting Stanford at 5 o'clock on ABC, which
big time
College Game Day.
Hello.
Is College Game Day going to come to Eugene this next week?
You know what happened to Washington at Mark Edwards? I don't know if you probably didn't see this. Is that this is an effect of what's happening from ESPN. ESPN and University of Washington put out a report that Mark Edwards, play-by-play for ESPN, trolled Washington. Well, just released yesterday via Twitter, was the email response between the big powers that be from ESPN saying he is removed from all broadcasts and we will make a focus because the rest of the Pac-12 conference and Larry Scott sent a huge memo to ESPN, said enough's enough. You're going to keep doing that to us and our teams out here. This is a joke. You have a $3 billion deal. I believe that ESPN is going, oh gosh, they're going super sensitive now, and they're gonna try to cover the Pac-12 even more and make a little bit of emphasis early in the season.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get that kind of love late, but they're gonna throw some fun at ESPN. Our ESPN is gonna throw some fun at the Pac-12 out here, and that's a great job by them putting Stanford and Oregon, 5 o'clock. That's big time.
Yeah, it is. And if you look at the other games in the Northwest, they can make a point of emphasis on that, because that's what they usually like to do. Is like, it's not just the game that on the location that they're at, but the region that they're in. Next week, you also have Washington State heading down to USC. Mm-hmm. Remember, that was an upset last year.
Yeah.
It was on a Friday night on
terrible
short week at Washington State. But then you have Arizona State heading up to UW.
Ooh, which will be a good one too.
Yeah. So those are you have three games in the Pac-12 of note, and really Stanford Oregon is probably the best game across the country mm-hmm. for that week. So mm-hmm. that could be something that is coming down the pipeline as well. So those two games. Hey, here we go. Pac-12 maybe getting a little off.
And don't sleep on this week though.
Utah. Washington?
No. Oregon, don't just walk over
San Jose
over
State? Kidding me?
Sorry.
No. Respect your opponents.
Come on.
By the way,
Washington State shut them out.
According to StubHub, you can get into the door for as low as $10.
Oh, God, I was going to go six.
No.
You Bob Barker you.
You can go $1. To Idaho State Cal for six.
Can you...
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
In Berkeley?
In Berkeley.
I can get into a college football game. Yeah. In Northern California for $6,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't surprise me. The garbage fan base in college football in Northern California, Buck, your region is the worst in college football.
That's probably not close at all. Well, no wonder.
Southern California pretty bad, too.
No, Southern California is not even close, dude. No. Pasadena and the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum, those are massive venues. You can't even fill a Stanford of 50,000.
Yeah, UCLA... looks like they can't draw anything, but they get 50,000. It's just half the stadium's empty because it's the Rose Bowl.
And you have another 100,000 to the Coliseum.
Yeah. This is why Stanford can't pull tickets. It's three times as expensive to go to the Stanford UC Davis game as it is Cal Idaho State. $18.
Wow. $18.
Yeah. $18 to get into that game.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. You can get in the door. This one's surprising. According to the ESPN on the StubHub, 3,602 tickets available at Royal Texas Memorial Stadium for USC Texas, as low as $10 to get in the door for Texas USC.
Wait, where's that game at?
Texas.
Oh, it's in Austin.
In Austin. You can get in the door for $10 in Austin.
Interesting.
They're already turning on Tom Herman.
Oh, boy. Tom Herman, man, he regrets that strip club visit.
If USC is smart, if they have a really rich booster, which I'm assuming they do, they should
they should
buy a bunch of those tickets and send strippers for Tom Herman, distract him. Big distraction drill in the back end zone. $10 tickets, strippers everywhere. He won't be able to focus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do something new, something we haven't done before. We are going to translate coach speak for you. This is brand new. We'll tell you what these coaches really mean when they're being nice about their team. 745 on the Fan. Baby, all right, we're doing something new. We have got these coach speak translator all fired up. Coaches like to talk bad about their teams, but do it in a veiled way. So we are firing up our coach speak translator. Buck, let's do it. First, we head to John Gruden. He has been Mr. Coachity Coach Speak. Oh, wait, no, that's not one that we want. We want Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans. He and his team went down to Miami. High expectations for the Titans this year, and they lost. Mr. Vrabel.
Well, I think just making sure that, we're prepared for all the situations that come up in the game. I think make sure that we understand... the situational football, where we're able to go for it on fourth down. I have a lot of confidence in those plays, but making sure that the team knows that I have a lot of confidence. That wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. I knew the play we were going to call in that situation. It had been executed in practice. I can make sure that the defense does a better job of stopping a run early in the game or in the second quarter, making better adjustments with the coaching staff. I think those are some things right off the top of my head. I think that, we can improve on.
Okay, coach speak. Let's translate that. We're young. Oh my God, I had no idea what we were going to do in that situation. I thought we were prepared. We practiced it and it was crap. Not only am I irritated about that, the fact that I lost my tight end now I have to practice harder the rest of the week. And just when I thought I was ready to get my debut underway, this crap continues to happen. Thank you. Thank you, media. I'm out.
That was a really long one. I think that Vrabel was just basically saying, we got a bunch of idiots who don't understand the game of football, and we need to get them to understand the game of football, and I don't trust them yet.
My way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And listen, this game was delayed twice. It's my first time out here. I don't know what you really expect from me at this point. Obviously, we didn't win, so everyone's going to be disappointed, and there are plenty of things for us to work on.
Another Belichick disciple, Matt Patricia. He lost by 31 points in his debut to the New York Jets. Polish the turd, Matt.
You know, there's not a lot to be happy about here, you know, as far as that's concerned. So, I think in general, you know, all of us just got to be better. You know, just, you know, start from the top and work our way down. I don't think there's anything you can say other than, you know, it's all just execution and coaching and all this stuff's got to be better from that standpoint. So, had a couple good plays, but a couple good plays isn't going to make a game. You know, it's that consistency that we got to have, play in, play out, in order to, step up and just handle those situations and play with good awareness and good execution all the way through.
We suck.
Oh my God, what did I get myself into?
They suck. I suck. We're all going to be fired. You're going to be fired. Everybody's fired. You guys suck. I don't want to be here right now. I'm miserable. I hope my wife makes me pot roast when I get home.
Why a pot roast?
I don't know, because he's fat.
He looks like a guy who eats pot roast.
Make me my pot roast. You suck. Get me out of here.
Sean McDermott. Okay. Explain Nathan Peterman to us, McDermott.
I thought he made some good decisions and some decisions that he would like to have back. Overall as an offense, we didn't move the ball. And you saw that on TV or tape or whatever you looked at. I mean, we didn't have success on offense, and you can't go three and out and not win the field position game and put the defense back on the field. So it wasn't good enough, and from an offensive standpoint, wasn't good enough.
I don't know why we traded A.J. McCarron, but this is our best option because Josh Allen isn't ready. I'm sorry. Bye.
Good Lord. I don't have anybody that can throw the football. I have two morons. I'm screwed. The rest of you now have to watch Bills jumping from cars, landing on beer bottle tables. That's going to be what you care about the entire season. I'm out of here. We suck.
No, I'm really not sure that I could. I couldn't believe it myself that I put Nathan Peterman back out there again, but this front office has left me no choice as they've drafted a quarterback who isn't ready and traded one who might have been.
God, why did they trade A.J. McCarron? When you saw Nathan Peterman, why? All right, we heard from Mike Vrabel. The guy who beat him was Adam Gase.
Really, we were just worried about ourselves. We just kept talking about trying to organize some series, you know, some drives. How can we get things going, you know, be consistent? And then really it was, how do we make sure our guys are ready to go back out there? It's dead time, and then you get a 10-minute warning, and you have to juice it right back up. So that was really one of those, that's what a lot of our conversations were about.
Lightning delays suck.
We had to sit in the locker room. I had to sit and talk to my coaches longer than I wanted to. Guys were irritated, so I shot them full of steroids and mollies, and we ran out, and thank the Lord Ryan Tannehill didn't screw it up. Thank you, God. We're 1-0.
Steroids and Molly?
Well, you just, it's coach speak.
All right, steroids.
He said juice. He said he needed juice.
The literal or figurative juice.
Yeah, juice.
Man, I just lied to you guys. All we did was we ate barbecue. Because that's actually what they did.
Yeah, barbecue.
Did you hear that one?
I did not know that.
They were in those lightning delays, the Miami Dolphins. He's talking about how, oh, we were just focused and, you know, it's hard to get back up and going. They were eating barbecue during the lightning delay. Sean McVay got a big win.
I think it was a good job by them responding the right way. You know, we talked about it at the half and came out, and I thought the guys executed and gave themselves a chance to come away with a win. So it was a good test for us. Anytime that you can come away with a win, that's the goal. So to be 1-0, however you get it, you never take those wins for granted. Certainly there's going to be a lot of things we can look at this film and clean up and try to get better as we move forward.
I beat the guy that hired me when I was 22. He's a Chucky doll. I'm Slick Rick, sitting on the beach with my hot girlfriend, and my team is blankety-blanketing good. Take that! I'm out.
Look, I'm just trying to find nice things to say about the team, but we won by 20. We probably could have won by 30, and this is probably going to be a story that you're going to hear from me a lot. It's just, it's always good to get a win.
Listen, the Raiders are terrible. I don't really want to give them much credit, but I'm going to do my best to sound like a mini John Gruden in my victory speech.
He does sound exactly like John Gruden.
Yeah, he does.
He's been coaching around him for far too long. That is Coach Speak Translator. I think we'll bring it back. I liked Coach Speak Translator. Did you?
I had a good time with that.
I liked it. I like it. I like how you did for a few of them. We suck, because that's basically what all of those coaches are saying that lose. Is that's what they really want to say?
They
we
all
suck.
Want to say it. In fact, the coaches' meetings, we've seen. You've got a taste of it on Hard Knocks. That coach meeting, when they walk in that first time, when they sit down and those head coaches get down, they said, well, guess what, guys? We suck and we're all going to be fired.
All right. NFL leftovers. We got the Monday Night Football crew that we need to discuss and break down. Plus, a historically bad showing for new coaches in the NFL. 757 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.